Lifestyle factors make the biggest improvement or make the biggest negative effects when it comes to our hormone health.
Hey there, I'm Ashley, mom of four and creator of Reps and Redemption. Join me as I share my passion for health education, explore all things fitness and nutrition, plus share a little faith-filled homemaking along the way. If you're a mom ready to build strength and live a life of epic redemption, this podcast is for you. Let's get after it.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Reps and Redemption. I am here today with a special guest who is just as, if not more, passionate about health education and fitness as I am. Caitlin Schwartz, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on.
I am excited to have you. So can you kind of introduce yourself, tell us where you're at, tell us where you're at in life, what's going on with you, and what you love to do?
Yeah. So like you said, my name is Caitlin. People call me Kate. I own a business. So primarily I work with women and moms online, and I work in the hormone space along with fitness and nutrition because they all go together. So I started Body by Kate in 2020, right after the pandemic happened. During that summer, I had a job and they weren't going to continue what I was doing there, and I also wanted a raise. So they were not going to do that. And so my husband just said, what if we put a gym in our garage? At that time, I was doing one-on-one training, and that really took off because it was after COVID. Nobody wanted to go back into the gyms yet anyways. So I had a lot of clients in person. And then I did that for a while and kind of transitioned online when I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's in 2022. I was 5 months postpartum at the time with my second son. And that was such an overwhelming thing for me. It's an autoimmune disease, for anyone who doesn't know, where my body is attacking my thyroid. So it basically is not working properly. And your thyroid is in control of your metabolism, your energy. It plays into all of your other hormones too. So everything I was Googling online was confusing and conflicted everything. And that's when I decided that I really wanted to start moving into a functional health space when it came to my business, so that I could help women who either had Hashimoto's or hypothyroid or PCOS, that kind of thing, and help them figure it out, because everything online is so confusing. So I read all the studies, I did all the training, I read lab work, all of that fun stuff. So it's been a really fun journey for me, along with healing my own Hashimoto's and helping other women actually feel better, along with seeing the physical results too.
You know, I made some notes here because I wanted to touch on a few points. That after COVID happened, you started your own home gym. Your husband was in on it with you, and you got a lot of moving parts going on. You're pregnant with your second son. Is that when you found out, you said? How did you feel once you found this out? Was it kind of like devastating to you, since you love health and fitness so much? You were like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Did you feel out of control?
With my first son, I actually got unexpectedly pregnant. And right before then, I had competed in a bodybuilding show. So that was more life-changing for me because it was not planned. And I'm like, oh my word, I'm in my best shape ever. What is happening? And so I actually didn't work out with my first son, and postpartum was really, really hard on me. So with the second time, I'm like, I am ready for this. I am going to work out. A lot of people, including myself, use their pregnancy as like a bolt. I made sure to try to lift heavier, to really put on as much muscle as possible, because after we deliver our baby, we do have a rest period of 6 weeks. And so I actually did an online course to train pre and postpartum women at the same time while I was pregnant, because I'm like, I want to know all this stuff. I want to help other people. All of that combined, my second pregnancy was actually a lot better. I felt more mentally in a good space. And I felt better too that time around, knowing that I was doing all of the things I needed to do to have a healthy pregnancy, instead of kind of avoiding it because I was upset about not being able to like be in the best shape ever, you know?
No, I'm really glad you shared that struggle with me, because there are a lot of listeners who are in that season and they're not sure if they should keep working out, how heavy they should lift. They're kind of uncertain about moving past, you know, you enter this into in phenomenal shape, and some of us don't. And it's
right.
honestly like a learning curve in each direction. And it kind of, you know, I've mentioned on the show before, a friend of mine at the gym says with each pregnancy, she wants to be in the best shape of her life. And I think that we can cap ourselves, just like you were saying, you wanted a raise with your job and you knew that there was a ceiling there. Like, we do that to ourselves instead of using these things as a catalyst to push us forward to be better and to be healthier. But you adjusted and you knew with your second son that, all right, like this, that's ridiculous. I shouldn't have done it like that. Now I'm going to do it like this. And now you can help other women see their potential, whether they're entering pregnancy fit and healthy or whether they need a little help in that area, which is also okay and phenomenal, you know, like now that you can do this. So when you said you were, you know, the thyroid is a lot of things work from that, our thyroid health. Is that when you talk about hormones and functional medicine in your business, is that what you're talking about? Like regulating your thyroid and little points like that?
Yeah. So what I work on with my clients, I kind of have it in a tiered way. So I first want to focus on a client's gut health and their adrenal health. So your adrenal glands are what controls your stress. So a lot of us are very stressed. We have a lot of cortisol, and making it short, what can happen over time is our body just doesn't release that hormone anymore because it has had too much over time. So that's when you get what's called adrenal fatigue. So first step is we want to focus on what are we doing in our life to improve our stress? Are we sleeping enough? Are we eating enough? Are we doing things before bed that help decrease our stress? Are we getting off of our phone, not watching TV, that sort of thing? Then I move down to thyroid health. And typically this is something that is a test that is often done by doctors. So kudos to that you can really get thyroid tests done pretty easily. So we'll look at the thyroid levels. Once we start seeing that maybe those are okay, or maybe there's something that we can boost with that and improve on, then I'll go down and look at our reproductive hormones. So we're looking at progesterone, estrogen, your testosterone. DHEA is a hormone that helps all of our other things. And so I kind of look at everything as a big picture. So we want to really focus on lifestyle factors, because lifestyle factors make the biggest improvement or make the biggest negative effects when it comes to our hormone health.
No, that I think you hit the nail on the head there, because on the show, as you know, we talk a lot about living the life that you want to live. And maybe today it's not all the things you really wish you could do. It's just one thing. So maybe you start with nutrition or you start with sleep. And really, I think we should all be focusing on water intake, right? But you got to start somewhere. And if you do look at the big picture to start with and you haven't really gone down that road yet, it can be so overwhelming that people just don't do it, especially us moms who have full plates and a lot of kids, or even just one kid, like I've said before. That's just, you know, it all adds up and all the things that we have to do. I love that you said you look at a few steps and, you know, the gut, your gut and adrenal, you look at the gut and then your adrenal fatigue. Is that what you were saying? Like that will really kind of the stress factors in life. So for that, you said, does sleep, food, and, you know, decreasing our stress level, does that help both of those things? Or is there certain things that we should do for our gut and certain things we should do for our adrenal health?
Yeah. So for both of them, I recommend limiting screen time. A lot of us eat meals in front of a TV or in front of our phone. We often eat our meals very quickly. So I actually went to Europe last year in May, and they eat so slow there. It was like 1 to 2 hours for a dinner. And if you think about how we eat in America, it's very, very fast. So when it comes to gut health and your adrenal health, I recommend limiting screen time if you can. I know a lot of us work in front of computers. Some of us are stay-at-home moms and maybe we're on our phones or whatever. So I always say limiting that, especially before bedtime, putting your phone away an hour before. But another thing with gut health is chewing your food more often. So we often chew probably 5 to 10 times before before we swallow. And I like to encourage my clients to chew 20 times before swallowing. So
Wow.
what that actually does is it helps break up the food even more before it's put into our digestive system. Sorry, that's a tongue twister.
It is.
And your digestive system is supposed to break up the food, but if we can help it a little bit more, it takes some of that pressure off of it and helps our digestion. It also decreases bloating and allows that food to pass through correctly.
That is actually really brilliant. You know, there's a little bit out there. I'm sure you've seen it a lot actually about mindful eating and chewing more slowly, but I love how you kind of like, you're like, okay, 20 times and go slow. Now, would you recommend, because I've also heard this too, to drink water before you eat or wait until after, or do you drink it with your food? Does that help digestion or is that kind of irrelevant?
I've heard multiple different things. I'm not a gut health specialist, so I'm sure that they would have maybe more information on that. But I personally still drink water
Right,
while
same.
eating. My
Yeah.
mouth just gets too dry. I can't. I need it.
Yeah, same. I was asking because I still drink water with it and I've heard all these different things. So, okay, so for that was kind of the first step of just eating more mindfully and limiting screens, which I know for me, and I share a lot of my failures. I don't know if I should call them failures, but a lot of my struggles on the show. And honestly, I feel like I can't use my phone until the end of the day, like right before I go to bed. And it's so tough because usually there's something triggering that's like, you know, that I've, you know, have struggled with being anxious, worried about my kids, worried about the future. And it's usually because I'm on my phone before I go to sleep. And then I don't sleep that great. And I also have a baby who doesn't sleep super fantastic quite yet. So I can see how that would really stress my adrenals. That's what it would stress, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if you can tell from here, but I have had somebody tell me, you know, a while ago after my first baby that I had adrenal fatigue just by looking at me. I'm like, how can you tell that? But she was telling me there was a few key signs. Have you done that before? Can you tell by looking at somebody?
I haven't actually. That's really interesting.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it was like a woo-woo thing or if it was like a
Yeah.
legit thing. So I'll look into that because that would be actually kind of interesting. But you probably have the answers if there's a lot of screens going on and rushed eating. And when I was in Europe a very long time ago, like over 10 years ago, I did notice the same thing. Now that you say that, like every meal took an hour to 2 hours. Like it was, and here I'm like, come on, kids. Like, and we homeschool, like we don't even have to take that. We don't even, we can take our time. We don't have to be super fast. So I love hearing that because when something like that is said, it kind of gives us permission here to slow down a little bit. Would you agree?
Yep.
Okay. So you're an advocate for slowing the pace, right?
Yes. And it's something that I struggle with too, right? I
Right.
think as moms in general, we struggle with slowing down, especially because everything else around us is go, go, go all the time. And it's hard for us to break the cycle that society has made for all of us to be in. But I do try to remember, and my husband says this to me all the time, and it makes me cry every time. And he says, "This is the littlest you'll ever see them again." And I'm like,
Oh,
stop saying it. It makes me so sad. But then it makes me think, I need to slow down and enjoy this no matter what it is. And that's so hard to say when they're having a tantrum or whatever. And you're like, gotta slow down and enjoy this.
yeah.
But when we step back a little bit, we can see, okay, it's okay for us to slow down. The things in life will always be there. We'll always be able to catch up on something, or we always have to catch up on something no matter how fast we go. So being able to just try to at least remind yourself, okay, there is time for me to slow down here.
Yeah,
Kind
no,
of
that's
helps.
good. That's good. And that's precious. You know, something was said in a family group text today. Like we sent some pictures of our kids to each other and they're like, wow, you know, of my bonus daughter, who's now 21. And I met her when she was 11 and it was from 10 years ago when she was playing softball. And one of my in-laws was like, where does the time go? And my grandfather used to say that to my grandmother. And it's like, it's true. It just goes by so fast. And I do think limiting screens is a key to finding a little bit more peace, especially when it comes to our faith life as well. Cause I know that you are a fellow believer, which is awesome. I love that. So bonus guest.
Yes. It's so funny you mentioned that because I have seen a few things online. TikTok is kind of my thing. I'm on at
Oh,
night. I
nice. Okay.
doom scroll, which is terrible. And then I'm like, okay, I have an hour before I go to bed. I gotta get
Right.
off. But I had seen a few things, and someone on, I'm assuming they just talk about their faith a lot on social media. It popped up on my screen and I was like, oh, I want to listen to this. And it was about how worrying is similar to fortune telling. So we
Wow.
worry about things that we think are going to happen. And in the Bible, it obviously tells us like fortune telling, witchcraft, all of that
All
stuff,
those
these are things
things,
we
yeah.
want to avoid. But when we're worrying about something, we're trying to predict it happening to us in our life. And I sat there and I was like, oh my God. Gosh, I can't believe that I never
Yeah.
connected those two. And it really made me think, how often do I worry about things? And we see stuff on social media all the time. And we see so much more than we were meant to see with other people's struggles or terrible things that are happening, even in the world or in other people's lives. And it makes us worry a lot more. And so, even on that level, it's a, okay, I need to limit my screen time because this is not, I'm not mentally capable of
Right.
taking on that
Right.
much knowledge of what other people are going through. Although we need to know like world events and all of these things, we were just never meant to see all of the things that we see and
Wow,
worry about
you
it.
know, that's really powerful. I never really considered that because even, and now that you say that, it connects the dots too. The other day, you know, my daughter's like, "What's the internet? You know, what is this?" And you're right, we see so much. Like, how does a person really manage their own life and their own family if it's like constantly open to seeing all these other things in the world, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, it still affects us what we take in. So I'm glad you shared that. That's really powerful. So note to self, I want to
Yeah,
be
right.
way better with all the things that I take in, especially with social media. But for number two, you made a point of thyroid health, and there's a panel that doctors do that's pretty amazing. How, if somebody wanted to get that done, like how would you go about that? Would you have to go to your primary care first, or, you know, how would that work?
Right. So I do pull labs for my clients. I am able to order them. And they would just go into their local like Labcorp and get lab work done. But I often recommend them trying to go to their doctor first. So I typically list out like, we want to get your TSH, your T4, T3, reverse T3. We want to see all of these things, even TPO, which is the marker for Hashimoto's. We want all of these things to be done so we can get a really good picture on what's happening in your thyroid along with reproductive hormones. So typically, what I have seen is push back on reproductive hormones the most. A lot of my clients are able to get thyroid testing done though through their doctor. So I always say go in and ask. It never hurts for you to ask, especially if you have insurance and it's covered by insurance. Why not try?
Right.
So I have my clients go that route first. And if for some reason they are told no or whatever, then we'll pull those labs for them.
Okay, really interesting. So that's the step for the thyroid, for thyroid health, and that the re reproductive health kind of falls into that, right? Okay, really interesting. So if there's something, I've talked to another doctor, another person on the show who was a doctor, and he was talking about progesterone and estrogen. So could you kind of cover a little bit, you know, for some of us who might be in the dark, of what exactly those two are, really quick, and give us like a quick refresher? That would be awesome.
So progesterone and estrogen are our main hormones when it comes to ovulation and starting your period. And so these are the two hormones that we see fluctuate the most during our cycle. So what I see in clients is I see a lot of clients with a lot of estrogen and decently low progesterone. And so that is when people start to experience things like fatigue. They can't sleep. They have maybe unwanted weight gain, specifically around their hips, around that like lower belly, their thighs. And so, what we would want to look at is getting those done so that we can see what their levels are at. And then we can always adjust things with supplementation as needed. So, sometimes all it is just taking your vitamins and getting some extra support into your body, along with maybe nutrition if that's not something you're focusing on, or adding in exercise. So I really like to look at those. I also look at testosterone in women. It is something that people don't talk about enough, how important testosterone is for women. We often think that testosterone is just a male hormone, but so many of us, unless you have PCOS, most women with PCOS have high testosterone, is what I've seen. But a lot of us do have low testosterone, so we feel weak. We can't put on muscle. We are struggling with our metabolism. These could all be related to low testosterone. So that's why I look at all of them. Although testosterone doesn't play a role in our cycle, it's still really important in how our body functions and our metabolism and all of that stuff.
That is really incredible how everything really works together. God is amazing. I'm just, I love conversations like this.
I know.
Because I'm just like, how, you can't deny it. I mean, it's in the body, it's in the creation, and it's just really incredible. So we covered a lot of things, and especially lifestyle factors. So aside from, you know, really focusing on trying to limit our screen time and mindful eating, is there something else lifestyle wise, maybe one or two things that you can think of that would help another mama out there listening to the show start to prioritize her health and fitness so that she can be the best version of herself and really pass that on to her kids?
Yes. One of the things that I really recommend for my clients is for us to drink coffee after we eat breakfast. This is really important. So when we introduce caffeine into our body, it does spike our cortisol. So our body naturally has cortisol in it, which is that stress hormone. Mm-hmm. And we want it to be up in the morning. That's what helps us wake up. It helps us start our day. But if you're getting caffeine in before eating, it can actually cause some other issues, spike your insulin at the same time. So I always say, eat breakfast first. If you want to drink your coffee with breakfast, awesome. But I want them to be together. And sometimes that change can make the world of difference in how someone is feeling. Because often we drink coffee and we don't eat breakfast.
Correct.
And we kind of use that as a meal replacement. And then we look at the clock and it's noon and we're exhausted again. And we realize we haven't eaten anything. So we need the energy from our food at the same time, and then have caffeine to aid us a little bit if you need that extra help. But typically, if I could get a client to not need caffeine anymore and for them to drink caffeine or drink decaf, I am all for it.
Oh my goodness. So that's crazy that you say that, because my husband and I have been talking about first limiting to one cup in the morning. And now I'm sorry, I am so guilty of just drinking coffee first. And I knew that that was not good, but now you've like seriously convicted me. So we'll revisit that as friends later on. But yeah. Okay, so drink coffee after breakfast, if at all possible. So is there one other thing that you would also like to add?
Yes, I would recommend that everyone eats a little bit more, which sounds so opposite from what we're normally told, especially I'm assuming most of us are in the millennial era where we grew up around diet culture and eating very little. And so it's really hard for us mentally to get over that hurdle of, Am I eating too much? How much is too much? And oftentimes we are not eating enough. And so our metabolism has slowed down to meet the calorie goal that we are intaking. And then we wonder why we can't lose fat or whatever when it comes to those goals. If that's not your goal, still probably need to eat a little bit more. We just tend to eat a little bit lower. So if you can increase a snack that's higher in protein or add that in, I would highly recommend it, especially if you are eating relatively healthy when it comes to protein, carbs, fats, and focusing on those things. Adding in another snack can be really beneficial, especially if you're not tracking and you don't really know where you're at.
That is brilliant advice. And on Reps and Redemption, I have talked a lot about nutrition and eating more. I am with you on that 100%. Now, I don't want to say seasonal tracker, but I track most of the time, but I've hit that point, that sweet spot where I know how much protein I'm getting. I know exactly how much, you know, it might not be to the T if I don't put it in, you know, my little macro apps, but I agree with you. And I've noticed that I have definitely put on more muscle mass and lost fat by eating more, which is like completely mind-blowing, right? You wouldn't think. And a lot, you're right. We grew up around diet culture, Weight Watchers, you know, all the things that tell you that, you know, it's not really weight loss that we want. We just want to lose a little bit of fat, or maybe some of us a little more than a little, which is okay. But also having some fat isn't wrong either. So we just want to be healthier and have more energy. Is there a personal tip that you have, just to kind of wrap us up here, a personal tip that you have for energy, like for having a little bit more energy as moms? Like you said, sometimes we get tired around noon, between noon and three, we have that little slump. Is there like a trick that you do or something that you really, really believe in that might work for other people?
Yeah. If you live in a warm state, or I mean, it is getting warmer, I believe, everywhere kind of around now in spring. I live in Indiana, so we do have winters, but if you can get outside and get in the sun, do it. Even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, if you can walk outside, or even just sometimes I'll sit on our deck in the sun and just let the sun hit me. Having that fresh air, vitamin D, that can really raise our energy levels and kind of boost us a little bit more to continue us throughout that day when we're feeling exhausted and that kind of thing. So definitely get in the sun, get outside if you can. It truly helps energy a lot.
I know I feel better when I get outside and I get fresh air. We're here in Georgia, and actually I was born in Indiana. So we're kind of like, you know, maybe we lived next to each other at some point back in our younger days, but that's amazing because here it is really cold on and off. Like one day it's like 60 something. And then the next day it's like 29, but we still try to make it outside. And I noticed that I do feel better when I do that. And having my husband's a firm believer of laying in the sun, even just for 10 minutes. So I'm glad you shared that. I've never shared that on the show before. And that is an excellent point. So Caitlin, I want to thank you so much for the interview today. I feel like we have another one coming up here in the future, maybe on energy or how to have more energy as moms. But let everyone know who's listened to the show today, if they are interested in hiring you out as, you know, in your business and using you to find out what's going on with their bodies. Body by Kate, where can they find you and what are all the things?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram at Body by Kate LLC. I also have a website, which is bodybykatellc.com. And I will be providing a free hormone guide for all of your listeners. So you guys can, I'm assuming, find that in the show notes.
Absolutely. And I'm going to download it for me. I'm so excited about this. I love that.
Awesome. So if anyone feels like they're struggling with energy or they have unwanted weight gain or something like that, they have headaches, they have really bad PMS, all of these things are, although they're common, they're definitely not normal. So I have a little symptom tracker in the hormone guide where you guys can mark off things that you're struggling with and then read through. It's about 10 pages full of information about what to do with your hormones and little steps that you can take. So
that is excellent, Caitlin. Thank you so, so much for being with us today. And I cannot wait to chat with you again.
Of course. Thank you so much.
If this episode inspired you, will you share with a friend? Remember, this podcast offers health education tips and holistic insights. Please consult healthcare professionals for personalized advice. Until next time, Mama, be bold and live well.